is meant for an adult audience. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline! 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, Dr. Drew here. Again, that number 1-800-LOVE-191. In studio tonight, Eric Balfour from the new show Conviction, NBC Friday, 10 o'clock. Boy, they're pumping the hell out of that thing.
Yes, they are. They're behind this one. It's nice to see.
I even if you haven't seen the show, you felt like you've seen it just from watching the commercial clips.
Yeah. Well, and there's that great song on the promo, that Gabe Dixon Band song, that All Will Be Well.
Right.
They nailed it with this one. They got it on iTunes.
Right.
You can download the show on iTunes.
Nice.
We were just talking about that.
Which is going to change everything.
I hope, it's interesting because there's so many places to see the show right now, but it's great. It's great. It's got a lot of heart and...
And you play Brian Peluso?
Brian Peluso. I play a district attorney, man. I know, right? Can you believe it? But they pumped it on the promo enough, but the average age of an assistant district attorney in Manhattan is 28 years old.
Yeah, because everyone else that goes out into the real world, right. At a certain point you burn out and you're done with it, you get your experience. It's like a residency, basically.
Well, exactly. A lot of these people go into it with either political aspirations or, want to go into government, either mayor, governor, senator, whatever. Right. This kid's kind of fun. The kid I play is kind of fun because he's not that way. He was like a night school grad. It was either, I'm either going to become a cop or I'm going to become a district attorney.
Oh, wow.
He became a district attorney.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he's one of those, I want to make my neighborhood a better place to live.
Does he get jaded as the time goes along? Or?
He's not so much jaded as he is just, he's personally, conflicted in his own life. He's got a gambling problem, he's got a drinking problem.
That's really what this series is about the characters and the relationships and all that stuff, which is great.
It's interesting. Unlike the other Law & Order shows that are about the cases that go on in each episode, this one is about how the cases they work on affect their personal lives.
Right.
So it's fun to see. It's fun to see how they take it home with them and how they can't take it home with them.
And you have a band?
I have a band.
What's the band called?
Fridalba.
Fridalba.
Yeah, we put out an album last year called Uptown Music for Downtown Kids. You can get that on iTunes, too. It's a one-stop shop. You can go on iTunes and get the band, get the show.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know him from 6 Feet Under, 24. What did you play in 24?
24, I was Milo. I was in the first season. I played his computer assistant.
That must have been interesting doing that.
It was a pain in the ass, man.
Oh, really?
I had to wear the same clothes for like 6 months. We did a wardrobe fitting. And they're like, "Do you like this outfit?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is cool." Not thinking that I'd be wearing it every
24
day,
hours, dude.
Ever. Yeah, man. You get cabin fever doing that show. Like you're in the same place. Like if God forbid, you are in the CTU or whatever they call it.
Right.
And you're sitting behind your desk. You could be sitting behind your desk for like 3 months.
Right. And they lock it down too. No one can go visit the set.
No.
Or who else has to deal with that is the cast of The Office.
Oh, right.
They actually have to sit there pretending they're working all day.
Okay.
You see them in the background sitting at the computer.
Yeah.
Scene has nothing to do with them. They sit there.
The
cast sits down in the morning, and the scenes go where they go in various parts of the office. People don't move from their desks.
I'd love to see what they're scribbling on pads of paper.
God only knows. They're downloading porn and stuff.
Of course they are.
Of course. All right, let's take some call. Eric Balfour in here. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Misty. What's up, Misty?
Hey, I was wondering about a question I had. My clit seems abnormally large.
Oh, Eric, here we go. Just for you.
Okay, I have a lot of experience with
actually. First of all, I want you to say, Misty, you jarred him into this program. He just suddenly got shaken in.
Okay.
Okay, you're on Loveline, Eric, so just
I forgot where I was. Are you upset about it being unusually large?
I mean...
Because you got to understand, it makes it that much easier for us boys to find. It could be a blessing in disguise.
Really? I don't know. I've been in a 2-year relationship, and nothing's ever been said, but I was just kind of wondering if it's normal or if it would freak somebody out.
You don't take any medications, and never been on steroids, anything of that sort?
No.
I don't think it'll freak anybody out.
I don't think it'll freak anybody out.
Anything that makes things easier for guys, they're in.
And I actually have a perfect story.
It's a dick.
Exactly. I have a perfect story to make you feel better.
Oh, this should be good.
When I was a younger lad, but I was like 16 or 17, I had a girlfriend who actually had a clinically smaller clitoris. It was the hood or the skin around it, it was so small that it enclosed it, and it made it very hard to get to, and it made it very difficult for her to orgasm. And she actually had to, like, do exercises and techniques to get it to come out of its home, out of its shell, so to speak. So you should actually feel pretty good about yourself that, you know, you're not going to have those problems. I mean, do you have any problems with sex? Is it all? I mean, it's good, right? You're fine.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing, yeah. I mean, I don't
do you
really...
Do you have orgasms?
Sometimes.
Yeah. The clitoris is a great misconception about the anatomy there. In fact, women that have clitorises removed continue to have orgasmic function. So those people that have...
Hallelujah.
The people that have female genital mutilation and all, the research has shown they continue to have orgasmic function. So this issue is sort of...
So then if she doesn't like it and she wanted to have it, let's say, shaved down...
I don't think anyone would shave down.
So let's not do that.
Are you sure you're talking about the clitoris and not like the labia? Because that's more what women get obsessed about.
The labia. It's just like a tongue sticking out like through the lips, you know?
Yeah, that's not your clitoris, my dear.
Oh, sorry.
That is your labia minora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're not rolling them out like a, you know, like a carpet.
Unfurling them?
Yeah.
Like a scroll or something, medieval times. No, Misty, that is quite normal, and that does not disturb guys either. There are procedures to alter that, though. They actually have some laser procedures now that are pretty nifty, but
don't go messing around with down there, Misty.
I totally agree with Eric, and I really believe those procedures should be left for women that have had babies and have real serious sort of mechanical issues as a result.
Yeah, because the guy I was with, I mean, he was all about trying to get me into, like, magazines and stuff like that and take my picture, but I was just, you know, I just started...
Yeah, that's just not cool.
And I was just like, well... I don't know if
who is this guy? This guy?
This isn't the guy you're dating now, is it?
Well, I'm having his kid, but besides.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Please do God tell me it's your only child. Child?
Is it his only child?
Your only child. First child.
I like how she diverts the attention.
Yeah, he's got more than one, no doubt.
Yeah, this is going to be my first.
Okay. What's going on in life there, Misty? Where are your folks?
I'm back living with my mom. My dad lives in Texas.
He must be just a colossal idiot, your dad. I'm sorry. But for you to be attracted to this guy that impregnates you at 17, this criminal, by the way, and who wants to put you
in magazines. 17, right?
Of course
no,
not.
No, he just turned 20.
He just turned 20.
Like I said, this criminal.
Like 2 days ago.
Oh, fantastic. That makes it all the better.
Yeah, why don't you say so? Now I completely revised my opinion of this guy.
I've been with him for 2 years.
Yes. Oh, good, since you were like 14 or 15.
15, I was about to be 16. I'm about to turn...
Again, about to be 16. Eric, be fair.
You're absolutely right. That
was
complete... I am being completely judgmental right now.
For God's sakes.
Now, come on, Misty.
Are you still in a relationship with this guy?
Actually, it was really rocky for like 2 years because he was... Turns out, you know, he was still with the mother of his first two kids.
First two kids!
Yeah.
This guy should be arrested. This guy's a danger to society.
You know what? You're bringing this kid into the world, and hopefully you're going to be a great mother. Why don't you do you and the kid a favor? Get away from him. Just get away from him. There are lots of nice men out there who will love you, and probably your child, too. This is not the one.
Here's the deal, Misty. Focus on raising this kid. That's not your job. That's not your job. No more crazy guys in your life. No more acting out because dad was a colossal a-hole. Just focus on this
kid. If you were going to make a list of all the wonderful things, like I want a man who buys me flowers and takes me to dinner, wants to send my photos of my labia into magazines, should not be on that list.
Yeah, that should be like a deal breaker. Crystal, you have something to tell Misty?
Yes, hi. I actually have a similar problem for her. And I just want to tell her, don't be so conscious about it. Guys do not have a problem with it. Let me tell you, they do not have a problem with it.
No, they don't.
No,
they really
we don't.
Don't.
It's never even crossed my mind. I've never even thought about it. Like,
guys are young males, particularly, they're at that point where they're witnessing all that.
They'll probably just be fascinated.
They're just over the top.
They're just happy.
Yes. Oh my God.
You know, it's like, you know, starving for the first, you know, 15, 17 years of your life, and then all of a sudden there's a plethora of food. You know, you don't care what it is. You're just happy it's there.
See, women do not understand that about males. They do not.
No.
They somehow think that's some sort of like a joke.
No, it's an unfortunate reality. We are wired that way. I mean, I don't want to say 80% of our brain is devoted to that, but, you know.
90%.
90% is fair.
Crystal, what's up? Oh, she's already off the line. Okay, this is Stephanie. What's up, Stephanie?
Hi.
Hey, you're on with Eric Balfour.
I don't know. Me and my friend have a debate. I kind of have this problem with going around and even with just random guys. And she says it has a lot to do with my past. I was molested when I was younger. And I
don't you ever listen to this show? I mean, that's all we talk to all day, people that were abused and then who become hypersexual.
I've listened a couple times, but she told me that I should call you guys and ask you about it because we were debating.
Well, she's right. She
has been listening to this.
That
show.
Is how people become
every night.
Yeah, that's how people become hypersexual, is that they have sexual abuse and they have maybe some addiction in their family, and that's sort of a recipe for dialing in hypersexuality.
We have it written on the, there's like a board here.
You have a question,
and it's
Stephanie.
Like a connected formula.
Why is that funny? Stephanie?
I didn't laugh.
Is a bogus call?
No, she's sitting right next to me, so.
Well, you're laughing, so.
Maybe it's like what we talked about. When you're uncomfortable, you laugh.
She's laughing because she knows you guys are right. Like, she was trying to tell me, and I was arguing with her.
Let's put her on the phone here.
Put her on the phone?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We want to have a talk with her.
Stephanie's friend?
Yes.
What's going on with Stephanie?
She has sex all the time. And
yeah. And she was sexually abused growing up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A numerous amount of stepdads, and her and her dad did not have a good relationship, and I told her that's why she just has sex with a lot of guys, and she said, no, it's because of my ex-boyfriend, blah, 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 he made me info.
Total nonsense. Let me talk to her again.
Okay, hold on.
How many stepdads could you have if you're 21?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Stephanie.
Yes.
Your girlfriend's a genius. Listen to what she's saying. She knows what she's talking about. I have a crystal ball, and I can see where your life is headed, and it is not good.
Yeah, I know.
I'm looking at a crack house and a strip club. I see that both in my crystal ball.
Now, don't knock strip clubs.
I'm just saying.
There's nothing wrong with them inherently.
No, I know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's where Stephanie's headed. If that makes her happy, fantastic.
Stephanie, why don't you just make a rule? Up there on your pedestal?
Stephanie, make a rule. Make like a new rule. Make like a rule that you're not going to have sex with anyone that you don't know their last name and their parents, and that you're not actually considering spending more than a night with at one time.
She'll freak out.
Just make that rule right now.
Okay.
Stephanie, can we make that rule together?
Yes.
We're not going to date anyone who we don't know their last name. We're not going to have sex with anyone we don't know their last name.
Okay.
And we're not going to have sex with anybody that we wouldn't want to hang out with for more than like 3 days consecutively.
What are you doing for birth control?
I'm not on that.
All right. A, you're getting pregnant. B, what are you doing? Are you doing drugs also?
No.
No drug. Huh?
No.
No drinking, no drugging?
Oh, I drink, but I don't do any drugs.
All right. Just watch it. I smell
keep
addiction.
Keep it that way.
I smell addiction coming in here too. So, all right.
Stephanie, why can't you get birth control?
I did it for a little while, but I got sick off of it. I was taking
what about condoms?
Condoms?
Yeah.
Do you carry them on you?
No.
Well, you might want to think about it.
Think about that. Crazy that thinking is. Oh, I don't like how I feel in those pills. So I'll expose myself to HIV and chlamydia and gonorrhea and all those good things.
Genital warts
and herpes. I'll just go ahead and do that. And pregnancy, which, by the way, is a life-threatening condition potentially. I'll let myself get into that problem. Come on, Stephanie, what are you doing?
I seriously...
You need help. You need help. Come on. You need to get some treatment. That's very, very clear. And if you're, unless you want to go down the path of that crystal ball, I don't like what I'm seeing in my crystal ball. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I'm 20 and I'm still a virgin, and I've been going out with my girlfriend for like about a year now. Mm-hmm. And like, she wants to have
dumper.
She what?
Dumper. No, I'm kidding. She's
That's
probably
Eric
crying.
Balfour from Conviction, Fridays, 10 o'clock, NBC.
She's probably crying in the background. Sorry, go ahead, man.
Yeah,
she sounds like a sweet girl.
She is actually.
Good.
Yeah, so like, and I have never had sex and none of that. So, and because my penis has a foreskin, I really don't know. Like,
that's not why you're not having sex, buddy. I'm gonna guarantee you that right now. The foreskin on your penis is not the reason you've never had sex.
You didn't know that was a repellent? It was like a force field.
That's not true. I know very, very many strange women who like that. Yeah. I don't know why.
Or don't care.
And doesn't it like disappear kind of once you're erect? I mean, isn't that? I don't have any, so I'm not an authority on the subject. But isn't that true?
Well, it pulls back. It like it gets tight when I get like a boner or something.
Right. Yeah, that's a great word. I love that word. Yeah. Say it again. Is your girlfriend there? Maybe that's why. Maybe because you're talking about referred to as a boner. Has your girlfriend had sex before?
No, she hasn't either.
So she's a virgin too.
What is your question?
No, I'm just saying like how.
You're not asking us how to get her into bed, are you?
No, I'm just wondering. Like,
I mean, because I got some tricks if you want them, but
maybe question. Afterwards.
Dude, okay, Eric. What is the question?
Okay, the question is like how far back, are you supposed to like pull the skin, or does it automatically, pull back? And where the head of the penis, does it pop out by itself?
You've never had an erection before?
Wow,
I'd have one. I have them all the time, but the skin never pulls back.
That's fine. Then don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it'll just go back on its own.
Yes.
You'll be fine. What happened? I mean,
Eric, what do you do for a living?
What do I do? I go to college.
Junior college.
Hey, I'm transferring to CSUN.
All right, man.
I don't know. They'll see him coming. They'll move the school aside so he runs the other way.
Buddy, you masturbate, right?
Hold on here.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it works functionally when you do that, right?
Yeah, it does.
You're going to be fine.
I don't know what Derek's all about. That is just bizarre. All right, let's try another screwball. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How did Eric call for?
I've been seeing this girl for a couple of months, and I don't know how to bring about the fact that her vagina smells to her.
It's rough.
Even after a shower.
Oh, man, I feel for you. I really do.
I really enjoy being with her. I love giving her oral sex, but
I know.
Stand it.
Eric feels your pain.
I really feel for you, man. It's tough. Oh, that sucks.
Here's the deal.
It's like telling a dude he has a small.
Here's the deal. You tell her that you're listening to Loveline and you heard me talking to a caller about this smell thing, and I said it can be an infection, which it can be, and she needs to see a doctor because they'll give her some antibiotic cream, and that usually takes care of it.
Okay, that's pretty good.
So there you go. You say, I heard that. I never really noticed it. You go, I never really noticed it before, but they were talking about that. Oh, yeah, maybe that. We had to really look at
right.
that.
I thought it was completely normal.
By the way, your vagina smells.
What if he just put it on his penis and then had sex with it?
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
No, you just say, say it one time. Say don't make it, like an overall statement. Say, one time recently, I wasn't sure and maybe you might want to have it checked out. Don't make it don't make her wrong for it.
Right.
But just say, there was one time or a couple times, and I just, because I love you and because I care about you, I'm worried about
this infection.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Hey, Andrew. It's not funny. Relax here, dude. You came here with a question. You want an answer or not?
Yeah, I do want an answer.
All right. The answer is you heard about the fact that this is an infection. You thought about it. Maybe that applied to her. She needs to go see the doctor. Take her in. I'm hey, no more men for the next hour. Only
is it lonely
callers.
Up there on your yes. pedestal?
Yes, Chris, it is.
Andrew just got men excommunicated
yes.
from the show for an hour.
I'm tired of screwball men. Except this one more. Kenneth, we'll take you. Kenneth?
Yes.
It better be good, man.
Well, I've been with my girl almost a year now. And, we've been having sex and all. I do oral on her, everything. She sometimes does it to me. But, like any other guy or most guys. I would like to do it more, but she complains about the taste.
The taste of your skin or the taste of your semen?
Huh? The taste. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you shower?
Yeah, I shower.
The taste of your skin again?
Yeah, the taste of... He's saying the taste of his actual, skin, his actual penis, not the semen.
No. The taste of when I come in her mouth.
Oh.
Why didn't you just not do that part?
Well,
come on. You own porn, buddy. There's other ways to do it.
Well, my question is there any way to make her want to do it more by making it taste better?
No. No.
Doesn't lots of pineapple juice work?
No.
That's not true at all?
Just, I want you to think about it.
Because asparagus makes your pee smell.
It does. It does. There are things that can make things a little bit worse in terms of the
but
smell.
But nothing can make it better.
Not in terms of, I mean, think about it. You can make you eat strawberries and whipped cream, your poo going to be better? You know what I'm saying? Things
well,
come
I mean,
out of your snot going
to
be better?
I do. No, there's something to say for the fact that if you eat
your
really
urine
gnarly foods.
No,
if you eat really gnarly foods, it does
yes,
make,
it can make things a little worse. It make things a little worse. The bacteria will start splitting those products and making gas out of them. And that's where the smell comes from.
End of this.
And I blame you. I blame you. It's all your fault. All these screwball dudes calling in. But listen, the fact of making things sweeter and better and all that stuff, really almost impossible. And this
yeah,
is
do you have,
basically you're talking about the same thing comes out of your nose.
Do you have
you blow
to,
your nose? You can make that taste differently.
No, okay, fine. I was wrong.
I'm yelling at the caller, not you.
Oh, okay.
You're on my side.
Okay. Yo, so can't you just, you know, I mean, do you have to ejaculate in her mouth?
Right.
Well, no, it's like the the jizz or whatever you want to call it.
Hey, good word, buddy. Good. That's a $10 word right there. No, listen, I understand, like, when you're driving down the freeway, it's not as convenient to come on her face. That's just not cool. Because you got to find, you know, then you got to take your T-shirt off and you got to wipe it off her face. Now
again,
you don't have a T-shirt.
NBC, Friday night at 10 o'clock. That's Star of Conviction, Eric Baldwin.
That's me.
NBC executives right now are going,
how did we let this happen? No, it's the, you know what? They can't blame anybody. They set this up. This was their idea.
What's that, Kenneth?
I work at night, so I don't get to watch much night TV.
Okay. Well,
okay. You can download it on iTunes.
Reiterate,
you go download it on iTunes.
I reiterate my moratorium on males. I reiterate it just for an hour.
What does that have to do with the fact that you can't not ejaculate in your girlfriend's mouth? Make a game out of it. See if he can write your name on her chest.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's your sister here, too, Eric. Come on. What do you think of this guy talking like that?
I was trying to block her out. She's in the other room.
She hears every word.
She has a dirtier mouth than I do.
Yeah, well, okay.
I think we both got it from our mother.
Eric Balfour.
I'm going to get in trouble for that, too.
You know him from 6 Feet Under, 24, NYPD Blue, and now... Conviction. He should be on that show at least another 10 minutes before the executives convene after tonight's show. Currently, it's airing Friday nights, 10 o'clock, NBC. All those NBC execs are listening now. Show premiered on March 3rd. It's doing very well. And if you haven't seen the commercials, I don't know where you've been because they're pumping the hell out of it.
They're everywhere.
People, they're proud of that show. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Eric and I will return after this.
Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Eric Balfour in here on Loveline. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. You can see him Friday, 10 o'clock on NBC on Conviction, at least for the moment, till the executives get wind of what he's talking about tonight. And as usual, the conversation carries well into the hall here in this show.
That's right.
And we were talking about orgasms and men and women stuff, and we were talking about a guy that did not masturbate until he was like 21.
That's what the person
and said. I said, whoa. You want to know the difference between men and women? Women don't masturbate till 20 routinely. It's just a part of their development. You go, yeah, okay, well, it'll come on eventually. Some women do.
As upsetting as it is.
Well, but women are very different biologically. Some women are masturbating at 6. Some never masturbate. Some it just doesn't biologically.
I think I was masturbating at like 3.
If a male doesn't masturbate at 21, you need a medical evaluation.
Really? You think that could be like a tumor or something?
If there's not things coming out of him, if there's not semen being produced and coming out, the most common reason would be a prolactin secreting tumor, the pituitary gland, yes. And that, there's actually a book about that called Man Made.
Wow.
A guy that went through that experience of having the pituitary. A guy now is the editor-in-chief of Us Magazine. And
you just outed him.
Well,
or did
no,
he read
no,
an
he
article
wrote the
about
book. He wrote
oh,
the
okay,
book.
So he doesn't mind being
and,
out
no, him. His name is Baker, in fact. And he wrote about that experience of what it's like to be low in testosterone and sort of not be that into sex. Kind of like women and stuff, but not really that into it. And then when he had the tumor removed, he became like this. Oh, my God. It didn't, you know, overnight, pow, that experience of turning that on. And what that feels like, and
that
how
must
profoundly
be,
different that is.
I mean, yeah, just as a man, I couldn't imagine going the first 20 years without being. I mean, up until the age of
yeah, but if you never knew, never
now,
it never turned on, never happened.
No, I know,
but
that's what I'm saying. Up until yesterday, I've been obsessed with sex.
I know, but he went from being yesterday.
Well, you know,
something happened yesterday.
No. I mean, I was just trying to make it sound not so bad. I didn't want to sound like a sex addict, so I said yesterday.
but he went from being sort of, not really interested in sport, not the competitor, to becoming a semi-pro hockey player.
Wow.
And just overnight, pow. And that's what those hormones will do to you. All right, let's take a couple calls here. This is Dawn. What's up, Dawn?
Hi. Hi, Dawn. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Obviously. Okay. Up until about May of last year, I was in a long-term relationship for like 3.5 years. And the guy was like almost my first everything. And I'm 21 now. And after I broke up with him, to this point, I've been with 11 different guys, and I kind of got to thinking about that, and I feel like there's something wrong with me, kind of.
Not necessarily.
Like, no, I mean, are you being safe? Are you using protection?
Yeah, well, I'm on birth control for medical reasons besides, birth control. And
what are the medical reasons?
I'm irregular, and also I went through a period where they thought I might have polycystic ovarian disease.
Okay. And all right. So that'll prevent.
But, you know, the birth control doesn't help against disease and infection, right?
Oh, I know that. I'm safe in other ways.
Oh, not those diseases. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not careless or anything, but, like, I got to thinking about it, and I know I listened to the show before, and you talk about how paths have to do with it, and I was a ward of the state of California for, like, over half my life. And
What happened?
Oh, when I was about 6 or 7, my mother got into an abusive relationship, and as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure of this, he didn't hurt my younger sister, but he was very aggressive towards me and abusive, and he also hurt my mom. And so that's how I went into the system.
And that sucks. He should be shot.
How old were you?
At the time, I was, when my mom was first with him, I was about 6. I was 7 when I went into the system.
Wow.
Mm. I know, these guys well give men in general a bad name.
Yeah.
And you know, again, from listening to this show, that people that are trauma survivors, abandonment, neglect, physical abuse, all that can lead to, let's just call it attempts to regulate feelings. You're trying to feel better. You're trying to sort of regulate yourself. And our culture offers young people very potentially destructive ways of doing that.
Right.
So, you know, extreme sports and sex and drugs and acting out in various ways, sort of what you gravitate towards to feel better.
So I do drink and stuff, but I've done marijuana before, but besides that, I don't do drugs.
But Don, in spite of that horrific history, you sound pretty darn good.
Yeah, Don, you don't sound like a recluse. I mean, I Drew may disagree with me, but I mean, I don't think to a safe degree and to a healthy degree, there's anything wrong with experimenting sexually and being curious about different men and how they work, and that's
agreed.
Fine.
And most women will go through this about your age, and then they kind of stop.
Yeah.
So if you don't stop, then we got to kind of look into it. And with that history and all, you know, you had a sustained relationship, and naturally enough, you know, losing a relationship of a long standing would be particularly painful for you, having been abandoned the way you were.
Yeah, and again, the relationship ended unwell. He had been cheating on me for most of the time we were together, and I found out about that afterwards.
All right. And of course, you'd be attracted to a-holes because those were the people around you traumatizing you. Those become amazingly the attraction.
Like the guys who've been calling tonight.
Oh, those guys have been worse. But So, Don, try to find decent guys. Have real relationships. I think you have the potential to be okay.
The girls calling tonight are so much more eloquent and intelligent than the guys. It's depressing.
Women are a better form of the species.
I know.
They just are, especially when this age.
It's so frustrating, too, because you don't want it to be true. You fight, and the reality is they are.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They so are.
Just accept it. Laurel, what's up?
Hi. So I just took a pregnancy test today, and I realized I was pregnant. So I've decided to have, you know, I'm going to go through with an abortion. And so I made an appointment for tomorrow, but I guess I'm supposed to decide then, right then and there, what procedure I want to be done, so I have an option between the medication one or the surgical.
Vacuum.
And I'm just calling because I want to, you know, before I make an informed decision, I just want to know, like, you know, the complications for both of them, the risks.
Well, there are complications for both, and there's been some increased scrutiny lately on the medication-induced abortions.
When you say vacuum, you don't mean like a Hoover or something.
It doesn't look quite like that, but it operates basically the same way.
Like one of the old 80s style, you know, quick whip, the little handheld vacuum thing?
Well, it's actually an Electrolux we use in the surgical suite.
Ah, yeah. An Electrolux.
No, it's
like a Flobee. It kind of sucks on.
It is kind of like
a
Flobee.
A Flobee here.
However, Laurel, again, there's been increased scrutiny lately on the medicinal abortions. because there have been some problems with bleeding and things afterwards, I think the important note is to just be followed up very carefully afterwards. And if you have excessive cramping or bleeding or discomfort, that you immediately get seen and follow up. Go to the emergency room if you have to. But for the most part, if you're going to do this, I think for the most part, people would just recommend the medicinal at this stage.
Do the Flobee up the crotch. That's not cool.
Yeah, because I was trying to research it, and I the most like major complication I read for the medication is hemorrhage, and I'm like,
that's what I just said.
Yeah,
bleeding, major. Bleeding. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but you would know that if it started. I mean, right. It would be pretty obvious.
Let me repeat what I said, Laurel, because I don't know why it's not getting through. But there's been some increased scrutiny on the medicinal approach because there have been some serious complications around bleeding. Are you there?
Yeah.
And people are compensating for that by following more carefully. We've been a little more casual with that pill. Doctors that do that have been a little more casual with the pill, instead of sending people out and just, you'll be fine. You don't worry about it if you have some bleeding. Now they watch very carefully. And what I'm saying is, if you have anything at all peculiar, go to the emergency room.
But I don't want to see someone sticking a Swiffer up you, so I think you should go with the medicine.
Electrolux. Chloe, what's up?
Hi. I've been lying to my boyfriend of 5 months about my age. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that I'm 18, but I just turned 17.
How old is he?
He's 19.
Hey, by the way, we have a website on MySpace we've been monitoring. If you go to the groups and then click on Loveline,
right.
We are following the thread in there. So if the stuff you guys aren't getting through on the air on the telephone, we'll watch you. Engineer Gill is watching the website.
Good.
We'll bring up some of those threads. So, Chloe, what exactly do you want from us? You should come clean to the boyfriend.
You should tell him how old you are and probably let him know that he's putting himself at, serious
legal risk.
Well,
no, actually he's not, because I think the way the law looks at this is if you're in a couple years range in California, I think you're okay.
Why do you feel the need to lie to him about being 17 versus 18? It's not like being 14 versus 18. What's the big deal?
No, she's actually lying to us.
It's just that I started out because I thought that he wouldn't want to be with me, and I really liked him, but then... and now I'm just worried. Should I tell him or just break up?
Probably should. You should tell him. I'll tell you that I did that once when I was like 12 years old. And I thought there was a girl who was 15 at my school, and I thought it'd be so much more important that she thought I was 13. I don't know why at the time. I don't know why the difference between 12 and 13 was. But for whatever reason.
It was important.
And when she finally found out, it didn't matter that it really wasn't that big a deal or wasn't even that big a difference in age. She just felt betrayed. And she just felt like, you know what? If you'd lie to me about something stupid like
what else would you lie to me about? What else going on here?
So you know what?
Just worried about, because he's going to like freak out and...
The longer you let this go, the worse the consequences will be.
You know what? If you go to him and you say, you know what? If you go to him honestly and you say, I was scared. I really liked you and I didn't know if you would still like me. And then when I didn't tell you, it just became worse and I was really afraid. And the reason I was afraid is, because how much I like you. You know, if he's a halfway decent person, he'll get mad and he'll get a little pissed off. And then he'll go, okay, let's fix it and work it out. And, don't do that again. And if he can't do that, then... he's got some responsibility that he has to look at too,
Or right, tell him that you're...
How's he never looked at your driver's license?
You can tell him your parents have been lying to you all these years. You just found your birth certificate.
Anderson.
Thank you, Chloe.
Yeah,
Anderson, if you're lying, get caught, lie bigger.
Yeah.
Make a bigger lie.
It's like Navy SEALs. Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations.
Heather, what's up?
Hi.
What's
going on?
My question is, I'm married. My husband lives in Texas, and I live here in Ohio.
Why the separation?
And, we're both in the military. He's in the Army. I'm in the Air Force. So
fabulous.
That's why we're separated for right now.
Okay.
But I never see him. So when I do see him, obviously we have sex, and he lasts a really long time. And I'm just wondering if it's because he jacks off so much because I'm never with them, or if that has anything to do with it at all.
Heather's been around military guys too long.
Wow. You're complaining about this? This is a problem for you? There's a legion of women out there right now who are picketing you.
A lot of women don't like more than about 10 minutes. That's sort of the max.
That's probably true.
Without paying. Fine. Okay, I think 15 minutes is fine. Like an hour to an hour, or not doing it at all. Just kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Wait. How did we go from he goes too long to not doing it at all?
So sometimes he doesn't even go.
He doesn't ejaculate.
Yeah.
Is he on?
Oh, he'll have sex until you have an orgasm, and then he won't.
She'll tire out and get painful.
Right.
Is he on medication?
No.
You sure?
Yes, positive.
Okay. I mean, the truth of the matter is, the more sex you have, whatever form it is, the longer you're gonna be able to go. If you're jacking off a lot and you're masturbating a lot, you know, you're gonna be able to go longer just because you've had that release. I mean,
was it like this before you guys separated?
Well, we've actually kind of always been separated, so.
Let me ask. You understand the question I'm asking? Has it always been like this?
Yes.
So some guys just have that 1 hour rhythm, and it's kind of a problem for them. And I know we do a lot of talking about the premature guys, but the guys that go too long, I mean, from a standpoint of evolutionary biology, in nature, these guys have a huge problem.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
They can't pass their genes on. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, yeah, but the cycle is, you know, men can appropriate every 10 minutes.
No, I understand, but from the standpoint of the biology of all this, this is a really dysfunctional biology in terms of, you know, the big picture, even though you can make fun of
it. Sometimes I just feel like it's me, like I don't turn him on enough or something.
No, women do that.
Wait.
No, women always do that no matter what's going wrong with the man. And the fact is that is almost never the case.
Yeah, it's never the case.
Yeah, almost never. So you can let that one go.
But wait, what are you saying? You're saying, so is the real issue that he likes to go a long time or that sometimes he doesn't orgasm?
Sometimes he doesn't, but really the main issue is that he lasts for a long time. And he wants to have sex all the time, but it's just that every time we do it, he lasts forever. And it's kind of like, I can't do it this long, you know.
And he wants to do it that long? He's not doing it because he thinks it pleases you. He's not doing it to impress you or anything like that.
No, he'll tell me like, well, you know, I can't help it. It's just, that's just how it is.
Does he get frustrated when he can't ejaculate? Does he get frustrated?
Yes, he does. He gets really frustrated.
And so does he get angry with you for not sort of helping him along kind of thing?
No. But he'll get angry with me if I don't have sex with him.
Okay, do you guys have a pretty open communication when it comes to sex about what you like and what he likes and what he likes to have done to him? And
well, I think we probably don't. I mean, we do, but we don't because we never see each other. So a lot of times we don't feel comfortable.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for a year and a half, but in 2 weeks he'll be moving into my house and we'll be together forever.
Maybe you'll kind of work this out. Something you're just going to need to work out.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, why don't you just, you know, maybe he likes, you know, something, you know, up the caboose, you know, maybe try that. You never know.
I think the point is well taken that maybe he likes other things.
Other things.
And that needs to be
said. But I would say just to be safe, knuckle deep is you know, don't go any.
Just to be you're a little bit expert in that. A little too much information.
You know, I'm just trying to help a girl out.
We're just listening. Just saying.
You know, you know, he might maybe, you know, try his nipples. Maybe he likes that. You know, maybe speak to him
he
in
does,
Spanish.
Actually, he does.
Okay. Have you tried speaking to him in Spanish?
I can't.
Okay, you know, you could.
So nipple clamps. And the crapper.
And the crapper.
This is.
Or maybe, you know, try like, you know, a Russian accent, you know. See which Bond girl he liked the best.
He may be anxious or overwhelmed being with you for short periods of time, and maybe he's got to settle into a rhythm. But this is a really significant problem. We're making fun of it a little bit tonight. But, guy, I was at this school. It was University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And guy came to the front of the room, and he had 600 kids in the room. And he goes, look. You could joke about this, and people are going to be jealous, but this is a problem, and it really bothers me, and it really gets in the way. And you know, we don't have treatments for this, and it's really about sort of taking care of yourself, maybe working on himself a little bit before he gets to the point where he's almost ready.
Or maybe, but couldn't it also be maybe he is masturbating too much?
Well, that's what her point was, and he may need to sort of hold back.
Maybe he needs to, be more like a boxer training for a fight.
What's up, Jesse?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, I have a question. Mm-hmm. I use my dildo daily, and currently when I've been having sex with my boyfriend, I don't find as much pleasure. And I was wondering...
It's a cruel, unfair world, isn't it?
You know, we have to take the daily dildo call just 1 second here, Jesse. Hang on, we're going to put you on hold for a second. We have to take a break. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
It's just me.
We are monitoring on MySpace. You go to groups, then Loveline. Gil, you watching that? Anything interesting? A couple things coming up. We'll bring that up after the break, as well as the effects of Daily Dildo.
Yes.
And this is Eric Balfour. What, I have trouble pronouncing it. Am I pronouncing it right?
Balfour.
Yeah. What kind of name is that?
French.
Balfour. The new show is Conviction Fridays, 10 p.m. NBC. He's going to be on it for at least 10 more minutes because, it'll take a while.
Are coming to get me.
It'll take a while for them to find out what he was talking about.
They don't know what the studio is.
No. But somebody will send them a CD and then, it'll work through the ranks. All right. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Loveline. Hey everybody, Loveline. Eric Balfour from Conviction in here with us tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. And before we go to the Daily Dildo call, Engineer Gill has a question off the group, the MySpace group Loveline. Okay, go ahead.
This is from Kit in Irvine.
Yeah.
And let me read real quick for you.
Yeah, that's the idea.
It's Dr. Drew often mentions on the show that women who have been sexually abused as children may have difficulties coming to orgasm in their later sexual relationships.
Mm-hmm. I don't say that, but go ahead.
According to her.
Yes.
I've just started listening to the show, so I don't understand if he's ever addressed this, but has Dr. Drew ever mentioned something that those women can do in order to make orgasm easier to attain?
No, I have not said that. In fact, the sexual abuse really does not associate with orgasmic function, because orgasmic function is something set by genetics. The women,
really?
Absolutely. The women, they're about.
So that's just one more thing you could blame your parents for.
About half of women.
Excellent.
Here's the stats. A little over half of women never have orgasm with intercourse. They will only have it with some sort of direct stimulation, right, such as oral sex. Of that remaining 50%, about 30% of them will have orgasm pretty reliably with intercourse, but maybe not every time. It's sort of kind of like the oral stimulation as well. Then that last 10 to 20%, really last 10% of that group, will have multiple orgasms. There's a group that can have sequential orgasms, one and then another and then another. That's about 10%. Another 10% can have multiple orgasms, one after another, to exhaustion. May have 30 or 40 in a session. And those women, the more you get to the multi-orgasmic, the less they are like oral sex.
And what is the percentage of those women who can actually shoot?
With squirting? I don't know that, because that's only something people have been talking about.
Where do they fit in to
that?
Yeah,
that's it's independent of all of that.
And you don't know that.
But it occurs across the spectrum.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm disappointed that you don't know that.
I know you want the squirting. You want to know what your odds are. But this business of sexual abuse can shut women down sexually, but usually it can make people hypersexual or fluctuate back and forth between hypersexuality and shut down sexually. But the orgasmic function is sort of independent of that. Jesse, what's up?
Hi.
So the Daily Dildo.
Yes. My boyfriend actually was the one who gave me my dildo.
Mm-hmm. He's a putz.
He's a putz?
Yeah, someone should kick him in the ass. Gave it to you? Well,
Yeah. It was kind of like a guy gift from him.
He should reap what he sows now.
He has.
Yeah.
And the question?
So now that I've become quite pleasured with my dildo, I don't find as much pleasure with my boyfriend.
What do you mean pleasure with your dildo? What does that mean?
Well, like, now I'm having to, like, fake orgasms, like, when
Now, wait a minute. What do you do with the dildo?
What do you mean, what do I do with my dildo?
How do you use it?
On the inside or the outside?
On the inside.
I think this is a bogus call.
Wait, really? You have an orgasm from the vibrator on the inside of you?
Yeah, this is a bogus call, Jesse, isn't it?
No, it's inside and outside.
Okay.
Oh, magically she's
changing it. Both ways.
What?
I use it both ways.
What does it look like? I want a description of it right now. What does it look like?
Mine is a purple sparkly dildo.
Sparkly?
I have a purple sparkly dildo.
Is that how you refer to it?
Sparky's the name, so
Sparky. So what else? That's not a description. I want more detail. Does it have a little like owl on the end of it, or a rabbit, or
Eric knows too much.
I don't deny that, but I still want it. I want an answer to my question.
It has a switch on that turns on the vibrator.
Mm, Yeah, so does, you know.
Most of them kind of twist, don't they? Oh, it twirls around?
Okay, does that, what makes it twirl around? Does it have those little balls inside of it? The little bearings?
No.
Haven't you ever seen the ones that have the little balls that make it go like a little?
Yeah, Jesse, I don't think.
Little balls that make it go.
This really smacks of bogus. This doesn't seem like a true call. Yeah.
Well, look, bottom line, even if your dildo is better than your boyfriend, your dildo will not take out the trash. It will not buy you presents. It will not take you to dinner. It will not hold you when you're upset. It will not.
And just to refine your bogus call here, the way women get into difficulty with orgasms, if they vibrate strongly, they use them on the clitoris and desensitize the clitoris. That's how they get into some difficulty. But that's how that works. So next time you call the bogus call, get the facts straight. Okay.
Can't believe you made up a bogus desensitizing your clitoris call. It's so not cool.
Okay. Okay. Eric Balfour, he's on Conviction Friday, 10 p.m. NBC. And by the way, whatever you're doing that desensitizes, stop doing it and things will restore. Or include your little sparky friend in there with the boy. But that was bogus. Friday nights, 10 o'clock, NBC. You know Eric from 6 Feet Under.
What an amazing
NYPD Blue, 24. What's that? For the bogus stuff?
Yeah, you actually do.
Yeah, you get a feeling.
You know, I gotta say too, I'm surprised. You seem to be having a lot of fun now.
I'm liberated.
Yeah, the last couple times I was here, you seemed a little contained, and now you just seem like you're like talking and hanging out. And
excuse me.
True, you may not have been here the last time I was here. You were somewhere else doing the show, but I enjoy seeing you. This.
Well, I
this
appreciate is nice. You. We enjoy working with you too. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. My buddy Eric will be back. Eric Balfour from Conviction. After this,
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line, fastest growing outlaw radio in Los Angeles. All right, 1-800-LOVE-191. Eric Balfour here tonight. He is from Conviction Friday, 10 o'clock NBC. You may remember him from 6 Feet Under, 24 NYPD Blue, West Wing, Chicago Hope, et cetera, et cetera. And your band?
Free Dalba.
Where did that come from, that name?
Well, you know, it was a street up near Big Bear where we would go snowboarding a lot.
Oh, that's cool.
And,
you grew up out here?
Yeah, I grew up out here. You know, I'm a California kid. And then there was a rumor that the name was also a prostitute that we met in Paris, and
no,
we've sort of only, you know, we just kept, you know, adding fuel to that fire just because it was fun.
Fantastic. And Anderson, why don't you also monitor the website with Gil? It's MySpace, Groups, Loveline. Anderson, can you do that?
I'm kind of retarded. I have no idea where to go.
Oh, come on. And then you can respond to people and abuse them the way you like to without...
I don't like to abuse people. I love everyone in the world. I don't have any idea where to go, though, for it.
You go to MySpace, click on Groups.
That last night, just out of curiosity. There was like 11 MySpaces, half of them which were like from Malaysia. Not MySpace.
What's wrong with Malaysia?
Oh, no, there's a bunch of people like named Loveline in Malaysia. It's bizarre.
You got to go to the Groups.
All right, yeah, that's where I went. There was like, I think, 20 Groups.
No. It's pretty obvious.
Hey, actually, people could help me out too. We actually we have a MySpace page for my band Free Dalba. We're trying to get 5,000 friends in the next week and a half, so anyone can go on our page and do a friend request
now
on us.
This
it's Free Dalba,
is
FreeDalba. You just look us up on MySpace, right? Is that how it works? Just go look up the name on MySpace and go to our page, become our friend.
Fair enough. And Gil, anything going on the MySpace site? Oh, another question? Go ahead. Got something? Keep a few minutes. Okay. All right. In the meantime, let's take some calls. This is Laura. I'm about ready to let some males through again. They've had enough of a moratorium. I think I hope will be on better behavior.
Anything's possible.
Laura, you're on with Eric Balfour. Laura?
Oh, hi.
Hi. Do you even know who you're talking to when he says that, when he says you're on the phone with Eric Balfour?
Well, you got to remember, it's caller who goes by Laura.
Oh, caller.
You know what I'm saying?
Caller who goes by Laura. When he says you're on the phone with Eric Balfour, does that actually mean anything to you?
I didn't hear what you said. I don't know. My phone's kind of bad.
So you're on the phone with me. I'm Eric Balfour. Do you have any idea who I am? Do you even care? You can be honest.
I heard you were on a show. I don't know what show it is, though.
Okay, I was just curious. I'm just trying to get a sense of, like, if anyone even... go ahead. What's going on?
So I was recently diagnosed with a bacterial infection. They said my pH was off.
So you have a bacterial vaginosis.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. they gave me a one-day cream to use, and it was supposed to clear up within 5 days.
The Metrogel cream?
Huh?
That's what I would have suggested.
Metrogel cream.
That's what I would have used.
It was called, like, Clindice or something. Clindice.
Oh, clindamycin. Okay. Yeah, clindamycin.
Okay. Well, anyways, so
that would have been my second choice.
Oh, yeah? Well, okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
So about 5 days later, I had sex with my boyfriend. And then a couple days later, he started getting this, like, it kind of looked like the cream was on the tip of his penis, and then it also kind of looks like his skin's peeling off, and I don't really know what that is.
Bad. That's bad.
Did you say yeah, S? And, the S and word? Then,
no.
So we were on
the hell was that?
No, sound like an S word. What'd you say?
I said that's just bad.
That's just bad. Okay.
Oh sound yeah. Like no, no, no.
That S is bad.
No. I said that's just bad.
Laura, okay, it's some sort of a dermatitis. You know.
Okay, a couple days later, after the doctor, like a week later after the doctor's appointment, she called me and told me that I also had a yeast infection, a slight yeast infection.
Yeah, they often go together.
So I don't know if it could be the cream that just irritated it, or could he have a yeast infection, or...
Yeah, unlikely. Unlikely. And the clindamycin creams, I guess it would be most likely to be some sort of reaction to the cream, although that's kind of unlikely, too.
But it didn't happen until...
Like, I love how Drew's looking at me for agreement. I know anything that he's talking about.
Exfoliative dermatitis, just where the top of your skin comes off. Provided it's not really exuberant, like it's not a lot of redness or burning and like that, I just kind of let it go, and... I don't know what that means. There's lots of things that can cause it.
You'll know it's bad if it falls off.
Even something called a succinate balanitis is part of something called a Reiter syndrome.
I saw that once.
If he has persistent symptoms, obviously a dermatologist ought to look at that.
If a little person grows out of it or something, or some kind of centipede.
Homunculus pops out, yes.
Well, you know, remember then, like Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan, when the thing went in the ear and then it crawled back out, that sure, little wormy.
Of course.
You know. If that comes out of the tip of his penis, you should definitely have it checked
out. Look into it. Monica, what's up?
Hello?
Hey there.
Hi. I was calling because I've been noticing my boyfriend prefers masturbation over sex.
Well, that stinks.
That sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was thinking, okay, well, maybe because I gained weight, because we've been together for, like, years on end, and I've gained probably about 20 pounds. So, no. I mean, I am way thicker than what I've ever been.
Hey.
What are you coming in at?
How much do I weigh?
Yeah.
Oh, God. 150.
There's nothing wrong with having a little something to grab onto.
Yeah, that believe me. That,
well,
yeah,
there's
that's
plenty
not...
of meat to grab onto. I mean, I have
good
D-cup breasts and all that good stuff.
Hey, right on.
But, he must have already been sort of into the masturbation. You sure he's not into just both?
No.
Some guys, like, will maintain a masturbatory
rhythm. Have you guys not been... I mean, is he just bored with having sex with you?
Well, see, because the thing, like, I used to be the big complainer when it came to sex because, like, he was just lay there. So I'm more than anything really into sex when we have sex. So recently, like, he'll come home and I'll be lying in bed and he lies with me. And then he'll walk out of the bed while he thinks I'm asleep. And he'll go into the living room, try to put on porn, and try to masturbate behind my back. And I don't mind him masturbating. I mean, I understand. But he does it, like... without wanting to have sex. Like, I think just the other day, we started having sex.
Obviously, you guys have not, you know, not to put it all on him or you, but, you know, there's not a lot of excitement going on there, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta figure out ways to create something interesting,
you know,
there.
There's this, again, I look at my crystal ball once in a while and I see fog. I can't figure out what's going on here because there's information missing. And he's okay. the one that has to provide that.
Yeah, I mean.
There's something going
on
with him.
Yeah, let's talk to him.
Nice.
Put him on the phone. We're gonna. Hey, wait, what was her name? What was your name again?
Monica.
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 Monica. We're gonna fix it all for you right now.
Oh,
we're gonna fix the whole thing.
Maybe I
promise you.
Tonight.
I'm gonna fix it for you, and you're gonna watch my new show, right?
And I'll get some instead.
I'm so just gonna sell it at this point.
Conviction.
Oh, he totally just ran away.
No. Get him back. Get him back.
I'm trying. He's
Monica, wait. I'm going to put you on hold. You go after him, okay?
Yeah, get him. I want to talk to him.
He's going
to
break the moratorium on men by being the first male on the air tonight since the moratorium was sort of brought down. So, Gil, any questions on MySpace?
Yeah, we have another one. This one's from Annie from Fullerton.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I've been listening since Ricky Rackman days.
Wow.
I've heard you talk about a lot about people using substances to manage emotions, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard you talk much about food addiction. Mm. I don't drink or do drugs, but I do compulsively eat yep. and feel this is an addiction of mine. Mm. Of course, you can't quit food altogether.
True.
What is your advice about food addiction?
True food addiction, I've only seen in situations... Well, this is going to sound bizarre. Yes, there are food compulsions and there is overeating and there are 12 steps to manage that. Overeaters Anonymous is basically a 12-step program. And like with other compulsive behaviors, you want a certain degree of admission of lack of control and powerlessness over the whole process. And so 12-step works very well for that. But yes, you can't be completely abstinent from food. You have to sort of create a balance. And I think the way to do that is to follow direction, have somebody from the outside creating structure in your diet, a dietitian or somebody, that you sort of can let go of the control yourself and follow direction of somebody else. I think that's the sort of the primary process here. In terms of true food addictions, the only time where I've seen the food to be so compulsive, I would call it an addiction, is this is where it's going to sound kind of weird, is where food gets coupled to severe trauma. Like I saw one person who was, her father would make her perform oral sex on him and then would give her milk and cookies at the end. And this person became a, you know, to say, honey, I love you.
That's just wrong.
Yeah. And imagine,
to ruin milk and cookies?
Yeah, but the food forever? Then becomes a compulsion. Remember, things that are terrorizing become attractive. And these people cannot.
Why not ruin something else, like Brussels sprouts or something, you know?
Yeah, but see what he's trying to do is to assuage his guilt and stuff. Here, have some milk and cookies. You know I love you. After just having brutally sexually abused the child, it's just horrible.
Why is that? I don't understand. There's something I've never understood about that. How come sexual deviants, men who are molesters, men who are pedophiles, why is the criminal punishment for them so, in my opinion, not harsh? Hmm. I mean, how does a man who is capable of, you know, raping, molesting, abusing an innocent child, not given life in prison or something thereof that they can't eventually 7 years later get out and just have to claim that they're a sexual predator?
I don't know because it is.
What's the rationale even? You can understand the rationale behind it.
It destroys lives. And then, by the way,
right, exactly.
After now dealing with trauma your entire life, you have about a 50%, 60% chance of becoming an abuser yourself. And people that are abusers don't just abuse one person. They abuse serially. So they have, by the time they get caught, they've done this to lots of people.
But what is the rationale? If you let somebody out of that like that out of prison, well, they obviously are not healed. They're not better.
Oh, I know.
Can a sexual person, a sexual predator like this be?
Yes, they can be treated.
Reformed. They can, right?
But they have to really work on it. The criminal system doesn't reform them.
So what is the point
it's
of?
Like,
letting
it's like
them
trying to. Do you have a certain attraction, a certain part of a female, or a certain quality?
Absolutely.
Okay. Imagine trying to change that.
Right. You couldn't.
We're going to change that.
You couldn't.
You can. But it's hard work.
But the question is, I don't remember what the question was. I lost it.
Here's what I want to temper your sort of aggression on all this. That is that you got to remember the guys that are the sexual abusers, the predators today, were the sexual abused childs themselves.
Right, fair. Okay, fair enough. But
so the same child who we're bleeding for now is the one that becomes the predator of the future.
So the question is, when they come out of prison,
yep.
you know, having served some sentence, do you think any of them really can truly not want to do that thing anymore?
No.
They still want to
do it. Not unless they've had a lot of treatment.
Even if they're capable of, you know, controlling it to a certain degree because they fear.
It may have dropped down a bit, just like any other addictive compulsive behavior that has momentum to it. It may be less intense, uh-huh. but it ain't going away without a lot of treatment. It may never go away.
I just don't get it.
Monica.
No, this is Joe. I'm her boyfriend.
Hey,
all right,
Joe,
I'm so excited to talk to you.
We really are. So tell us what's up.
Well, she's called me a couple of times. You know, she wants to know how come she has trouble with me masturbating and.
No. Do you not like having sex with her anymore?
No. Actually,
Can she hear the radio?
I think she's in the garage somewhere with the radio somewhere.
Okay, so this isn't really going to be a honest conversation.
yeah.
You're not going to. I mean, you can go ahead. You can say it. No. I'll tell you the truth. But we know. I mean, you're not really gonna. Are you sleeping with somebody else?
No.
Okay. Do you want to sleep with somebody else?
No.
She's been kind of coming at you about sex for a while, right?
Right. Yeah. It's been a while right now. It's just sometimes, you know, sometimes she doesn't want it. And, you know,
it's not what she says.
She says she wants it all the time and that you don't sort of cooperate with her and that you'd rather
masturbate than have sex with her.
Well, There's been times where, you know, sometimes she doesn't want it and I have to go, you know, pretty much begging for her. And
let me ask you something. Is it the pain of rejection that's just caused you to kind of check out and not get into approaching her that way?
Sometimes like that. And then, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, she never takes an initiative on it. It's always me the one that has to go looking for it.
So maybe you have some anger and resentment there, which has made you sort of
retreat.
You kind of
retreat. Well, he's like, hell with it. I'll take care of myself.
No, yeah. And it becomes a way of... it becomes a way of, like, you know, getting back at her. Like, oh, you know, I won't give it to you. You've been mean to me. You didn't do this. You didn't do that.
Right, right. Hey, Joe, get us Monica back. We'll take care of her now.
Okay, yeah, she's right here.
So, Joe, you are still attracted to her, though, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, she thinks that because she's gained some weight, you know, that I don't feel attracted to her anymore. And she's a great woman, but it's just the sex is sometimes we have problems. Monica. Here.
So maybe it's time to, like, try some new stuff.
Hold on, he's into it. Monica. He gave us a completely different story than you did.
Yeah, well, that was like years ago. Well, okay, not years ago.
Guys get rejected enough, they finally get like hurt and will retreat. But it's painful to get rejected by your wife.
Monica, did you actually hear what he said?
Yeah, I heard everything he said.
I know you heard it on the radio, but did it make sense to you in some way? Like, does it make sense if you've ever been yelled at by somebody? And even though they're not doing it anymore or doing the thing that hurt you, you still have that resentment and you're kind of pissed off at them and you're going to hurt them back.
Or you retreat. You either retreat away from them or you sort of act out aggressively towards them, that kind of thing.
Well, I think that makes sense.
What?
I guess it makes sense, but like recently, probably within the last 4 months, I'd say, I'm probably the one that initiates.
No, and that may actually be re-stimulating that for him. You know that, you know what I'm saying? That may be like making him think about like, oh, you know, what about all those times I wanted to have sex with her? And now all of a sudden you want to, and he's going, this sucks. I'm pissed.
So, like,
you know what? I wanted, subconsciously.
I've already done it.
Exactly. So you just need to, like, if you get, can now even try to have an open conversation with him about that and at least kind of get that out on the table.
Here's my advice to you. Don't say no when he comes at you ever for a while. I know it may not be something you want to do all the time, but don't say no. And show some enthusiasm when you're there. Don't make it like, oh, jeez. It really, men can be deeply hurt by that kind of thing. They want to be attractive to you just the way you want to be attracted to them.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
true.
You know, and it seems unfair that you have to sort of go to that length, but at the same time, you know, sort of like going, if you're going to really fix something, sometimes you kind of have to go above and beyond the call of duty. Just, you know, because what's more important, being right or making it good between you guys?
Now, Eric, there's a very unusual call here. I'm trying to understand this, so strap in. Hello. You're on with Eric Balfour.
Hi, Eric Balfour. Not only is your mother here. But say happy birthday to your mother.
Happy.
You forgot her birthday? Oh, my God.
It's not till Thursday.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Yes, right. No, it's not.
On the phone, too.
Who is?
His fiance is on the other phone. I have two phones.
Oh, good. So my fiance and my mother are on the phone. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How are you?
So do you know that Eric's mother was a sex therapist?
Oh, no.
I did.
And a hippie in Big Sur at Esalen.
Here we go.
Where are you calling? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from home. You think I'm going to tell you where I live?
Well, what part of the world?
That's my daughter calling on the cell phone telling me that I better not say anything bad.
Oh, man.
So now he has his sister and his mother and his fiance.
This is what you call it. This is why he has a castration complex, Eric's mom.
Yeah, right.
this is where it's coming from.
Wrong women. What do you do about
them? I'm just saying. I'm feeling his pain.
I love you. We're going
to
go.
But don't I get to talk to you at all?
No, we're going to go try to help some kids now. See? You see what I'm saying?
I want Dr. Drew to have me on one night. I'm a woman sex therapist, and you know what?
Excellent.
Women love vibrators.
Okay, Mom, you can come be a guest on the show.
You don't want your... Did they take
cut
me off?
Mom, seriously, you're not helping me right now.
I love you.
I'm not going to be able to live this. I love you, too.
We love you. Even though men are genetically defective, we do love you.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. You're absolutely right.
Here, here.
I love you.
You taught him well, Eric's mom.
You got to get off the phone now.
He has accepted his deficiencies openly and freely and feels liberated as a result.
I'll call you later.
What part of the country?
She's here in
Southern
Valley.
California.
Yeah, she's here in the valley.
Okay.
I love you. Goodbye. Happy birthday.
Okay. Will you be sure to call her on her birthday?
Yes.
Please?
No, I know.
She sounds very young to be your mom.
She's almost 60, man. She's a hip. She is a really hip, cool lady. She really is.
That's awesome.
It's impressive how she got through here. I don't know.
I love watching you squirm, though. It's pretty good.
Wow. Yeah, that was. I wasn't expecting that.
You broke a sweat.
Yeah. No, that was that was intense.
What is it? What is her name?
Sharon.
Sharon. Hey, Sharon.
I can't believe you just called. Jenny's yelling at me.
Oh, now we've got Jenny on the phone. Okay, so we got my publicist, my sister, my fiance, and my mother all on the phone
together.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see. There goes Eric Testicles right down the street right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Five women.
Let's leave it at big. Gil, anything going on in MySpace? MySpace group. He's too busy laughing at his
He's mom. Not even knowing.
All righty. Here we go. Let's take another quick Eric Balfour call. Here we go. Cynthia.
I wanted to tell Eric that I do know who he is when you say Eric Balfour. The girl you didn't know, and I love you. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. I tuned in right after you were talking about MySpace and you want to get 5,000 friends this week. So who do I need to look up on there to add you?
Fredalba, Fredalba.
Okay.
That's the name of my band.
Okay, cool.
Huh? Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, that's it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Huh? I'm a little overwhelmed by all that stuff, too. Yeah. Let's talk to Allison. Allison, what's up there?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Allison.
Hi.
We're just kind of coming down from our emotional experience here. So.
I would be like that too.
I mean, really, you know, normally when we get like a call like that from somebody who knows the guest, it'll come in on a line, sort of a direct call line. So we get to a direct line. This one was on the request line.
You know what? I don't doubt that my mother sat and waited.
And it says Eric's mom on the little screen here. I'm like, it could be anybody.
It was
Eric's mom.
No, it was my mom. And I have no doubt that she actually called and sat on hold. She actually would do it. I know. Awesome. It's impressive.
What's up, Allison?
Okay. My question was, does it make it... I was listening to you yesterday, and you said that when someone gets sexually abused, they have different reactions. Mm-hmm. So I've been molested around 5 years old, or 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And my sister was molested 2 years ago.
Yes.
And she is very sexually hypersexual.
And we've been kind of talking about that tonight, yes?
Yeah, and I was listening to that yesterday. And that's what kind of made me ask her, and she told, because she is very sexual hyper, and I was thinking, like, that's not right, because I heard you yesterday.
Yep.
And I asked her, and she finally told me, yeah, that's what happened to her. So she barely just told me last night.
Oh, that's cool. Great. Maybe get her some help.
Yeah, because she's, like, very in denial about it. And I told her, I told her, you know that it's happened to me when I was 5. Mm. But the thing is, I've never shut down, and I'm not sexually hyper. And I don't have crazy thoughts like, you know, I don't have to punch my boyfriend like last night or...
And it does, and it doesn't mean that you have to. It doesn't mean that you have to. That's awesome that you were able to, you know, sort of...
Are you okay otherwise,
see it for what it was.
Are you okay?
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Because she told me, well, if that's my problem, that's what's yours. And I was thinking about it. I was like, that's true. Because she's like, well, if anything, I think you're somewhat compulsive.
Yeah, you could have OCD kinds of issues. But here's the main thing you need to watch out for. This is sort of the basic. There can be all kinds of biological sort of scarring left behind from trauma. You can tend to dissociate. You could have obsessive compulsive features. You can be hypersexual. You can have mood disturbances. These are all the kinds of things we see from that. But the one thing you need to really watch out for is its effect on your relationships. You will tend to be attracted to bad guys. The experiences of terror become attractive during adolescence and young adulthood. Mm-hmm. You'd seek that. You need that. Strange how we're wired that way. And people theorize that it's a way of sort of making good the traumas of the past. I don't know. I think it's just you get wired up that way, and that becomes the direction you go.
So what about boys, though? What about, you know, young men or boys who are molested? How does that manifest itself on the opposite end? If they're molested by a man, then what would that...
Gay.
Oh,
that's sort of where that become.
Okay,
they become that. That's
so
one of
the, that aberration.
One of the mechanisms. Well, again, you seek that which was unpleasant,
right?
And that's one of the mechanisms. But then some men are born gay. But there's several ways to get to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just
and however it goes. Yeah. That's in. It's wired in. That's it.
Well, there are you know, it's just like women who are abused enough by men that eventually become lesbians because they've just been turned off.
That's different. That's a little different though. That's women who've been brutalized by men just give up and find more satisfaction with women.
Right.
This is a wiring that's in now. It's just in there, and that's the sexual orientation. And you aren't going to change that. You're just not. And whether you're born with it or whether it gets wired in by trauma, either way. Now, you know, I don't know what percentage of each is what. Some people argue about this all the time. And not everybody who gets sexually a male-on-male sexual abuse results in a homosexual orientation. Right. There's got to be some genetic predisposition there to begin with to set it all up. So it's complicated. But there can be some hypersexuality with that, too, again. And there can be hypersexuality, heterosexual hypersexuality with various kinds of sexual abuse in childhood, too. So it's similar to what happens to women. It's very similar.
Smorgasbord.
It's smorgasbord. So, Allison, it's something that can be treated, though, and probably ought to be, particularly in your sister's case, before she hurts herself. Okay.
No, because she was like.
And again, it's going to be hard for you to maintain stable relationships. You're going to sabotage stable relationships just because closeness becomes overwhelming and dangerous. And the more stable your family of origin, the more you can tolerate real relationships. The more unstable, the more treacherous they become. All right, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Eric Balfour in here. Conviction is the show. Friday night, 10 p.m. NBC. Anything else coming up with you?
That's it for right now.
The band. We got
the band. We're going to do some shows on the East Coast. And
Fred Alba. Check it out on MySpace. Yeah. Also, check out Loveline. Go to groups on MySpace. Check out Loveline. Gil, you got some stuff for us? All right, we're going to when we return from this commercial break, we're going to take some questions off of the MySpace site. We'll be right back.
Loveline is coming back.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Operators are standing by.
Loveline will be back in a minute.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. You know, I think one of the things that's compelling about that MySpace thing, it's like an IM or an email with a picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got like attitude comes with it.
Yeah, you know, I'm very mixed.
You're still freaked out about your mom calling
you? No, you know, MySpace is, you know, it's, you know, I just, it's all very tricky. You know, it's like, it seems very playful and it seems silly and you got to be responsible.
You got busted, huh?
I totally got busted.
What happened?
You know,
now do you know your girlfriend's listening?
Yeah, this isn't going to get better. You know what? It was really my lack of just being cognizant. You know, me and my friend set me up with an account like a couple weeks ago, and I thought, oh, this will be fun, have MySpace, and all my other friends were on there, my buddy Danny and this one. And then, but you know, you get all these, you know, messages from people you don't know and girls you don't know, and you're like, oh, and it doesn't seem like a big deal. And so, you know,
start talking to the hot ones.
Yeah, and so you start, you know, you write back a hot one, and you say, oh, thanks, you know, thanks for the compliment, or this or that. And you don't, you know, you got to be aware, like, it, you know, your fiance is going to see it and go, like, what the hell are you, you know, writing back some strange girl from Germany for?
Well, also, women also perceive that kind of an intimate interaction as a cheating, because, you know, emotional intimacy is emotional cheating is much more significant.
And you know, and it's hard, and, you know, and it's totally fair to hear, and it's totally fair for that feeling.
Because it may or may not be, we just have to be sensitive.
Sensitive, because, you know, from my standpoint, I'm going, oh, it was me and my buddy Tiffin going, like, oh, look, she's got a cute butt, let's write her back.
Yeah.
It was so not connected emotionally. But you know what? At the end of the day, you look and you go, you know what? Who's really more important? Obviously, my fiance. And, you know, this is, you know, to even have her worry about something like that is so stupid.
Ridiculous.
So be careful with your MySpace.
Gil, we got
accounts.
Something off our account here?
It's nothing exciting, but I guess it's better than nothing.
All right, very quick.
Real quick.
With that resounding introduction.
Yeah, so here goes nothing. This lady here from Boulder, Colorado, she says that we have been talking about the psychological effects of drug use in my AP Psych class, and I was wondering what are the effects of meth on the brain.
Well, I mean, she looked that up anywhere. The effects are profound.
I guess she doesn't
trust
you. They're
all bad. Yeah. You know?
It basically...
Depression.
Yeah,
and
basically causes a reversal of a transport of the usual neurotransmitters out of the cell at very, very high concentrations, overstimulate cells, cause something called excitotoxicity, where as a result of that overstimulation, the vesicles that the neurotransmitters are normally packaged in stop working, and the neurotransmitters break loose in the cytoplasm of the cell and kill the cells as free radicals.
Wow!
What that translates to in English?
God,
you can make sense to nothing. None of those.
You basically
it means you just become angry and depressed.
Well, you end up with damage in the part of the brain that regulates mood, and you end up with memory problems.
So anytime then after that you're not on the drug, you're constantly seeking that feeling that you were when you are on the drug, and you're depressed and angry and. It's just not good.
Okay, let's take a few calls here, shall we? This is, let's see, Ashley. Whoop, Sarah. What's up, Sarah?
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
How's it going, Sarah?
I had a question. Lots of women were attracted to men like our fathers. You know, they abandoned us, majority, or were attracted to men that were our abusers. Mm-hmm. So what is the cognitive process that an individual should take to not be attracted to these people? I'm attracted to men like my father. They work with their hands, they have beards, blah, blah, blah.
I think one way to do it is to realize that if you have a trauma history, mm-hmm. your attractions are going to be sort of broken. And that they're going to lead you into relationships that are dramatic and arousing, but painful and abusive and destructive. So if you have trauma and you will find yourself sort of super attracted to a guy where you have to be with him, that's the one you can't be with. You should not be with.
Right.
So the tens are out. You look for a guy that's about a five. That's somebody that maybe you're moderately attracted to, but it's more of the guy you kind of should be with. And be careful once you get in. You're going to want to sabotage it. You're going to want to cheat. You're going to want to move away from the intimacy, and you've got to force yourself to stay in.
It takes work.
Yeah, it takes work. It takes, and you have to really contain some of those crazy impulses. Right. And
my
boyfriends
usually are smothering.
And by the way, Sarah, because these are not cognitive impulses, these are from deep brain drive systems.
They're all reactive.
Cognitive processes may not work, and you may need therapies, experiential therapies, to sort of change this.
If you're carrying around a picture of your father or abuser and putting them up next to the guy you're considering dating to see if they look alike, that is bad.
But if you're even most of the time, women go, this guy's great. He's nothing like that other one. He's not one of those guys. But the the level of attraction that you have tells you that he may not be that guy today, but he has the potential to be that guy tomorrow. Right. And so it's your attractions that let you know that it's the wrong guy.
That just seems so unfair.
It is unfair.
Some guy abuses a woman or a father abuses this girl, and all of a sudden she now has to pick the guy she's the least attracted to.
Not the least attracted to.
Only the moderately attracted to.
And with time, though, she'll find out that those are more deeper, right. more fulfilling relationships. And these attractions really are just sort of dysfunctional drive systems that are sort of wired in. All right, Sarah?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck. This is Brittany. Brittany?
Okay. I'm 17, and I was with this guy that's 27. Mm-hmm. And, like, I quit, you know, being with him or whatever, but he calls me, and I don't know how to, like, not be mean to him, and I don't know. I feel bad.
I did not follow that, did you?
You don't know how to not be mean to him?
Yeah, like, you know, tell him to get away, back off, whatever.
You are mean to him, or you're not mean enough to him?
I'm not, like, I'm not mean when he's... calls or whatever.
Well, why do you have to be mean about it? Can't you just politely say, I'm not interested in you anymore?
Well, he don't get the point. And, like, I don't know. I feel that he has taken advantage of me because when we were together, like, you know, he influenced drug use and alcohol and...
Yeah, that's lame.
How old is this guy?
That's totally
he's
lame.
He's 27.
Yeah, he's okay, too old for you anyways.
Here's what you do. I've been thinking about it, and I don't think it was such a great thing that you showed me how to do drugs or drink. And if
well,
you
no, like, he didn't show me. He just, you know, provided it more easily.
Right. You need to call the police on this guy. If it's anything at all. That's contributing to the delinquency of a minor. It is a serious offense. God knows he's probably having sex with you, too, which is also illegal. So I suggest that you tell him that you're done, and if there's any further calls, you'll contact the police. In fact, I think you should call the police straight away.
Yeah.
But, like, see, I don't want to call the cops on him because that's not right, though.
But, no, no. But,
it is right, but
it is right.
You don't want to.
I understand you don't want to, but it is right. So it's pretty simple then, right? I mean, we're just going to have the next conversation is going to be, okay, I'm not going to hang out with you or have sex with you or do drugs with you anymore. So that's the end of our relationship, basically. So don't call me, and if you do, I'm going to call the police.
Okay.
I mean, right? I mean, what else is there to say?
I guess that's what I would say.
That's not me. The guy's a criminal. Yeah. The guy's a criminal, Brittany. It's just me. It's just clear.
Okay.
I mean, what, you know, you're, what 27-year-old, not to say that you're not very intelligent maybe or you know, mature for 17.
Yeah, this guy's got, went through a lot for my age.
And I have no doubts.
No, the reason you went through a lot is why you're attracted to a-holes like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fact is, when you're 27 and you think about your 27-year-old peers, guys your age when you're 27, dating 16 and 17-year-olds, you will vomit.
Yeah.
Because those guys will make you wretch.
If one of my friends, I'm 28 years old. If one of my buddies told me he was dating a girl who was 17 years old, I'd beat the crap out of him. I would literally physically hold him down and beat him. Senseless. There's no excuse for that. Okay. And it's not to say that you're not great. It's just to say there's 10 that it's not the difference between being 30 and 40.
Uh-huh.
That's not, you know, that's a different state of life. It's a different stage of life. 17 and 27 is a huge difference. There's no reason that he should, you know, be poaching on you.
There you go. All right, Brittany, seriously,
and,
bring it down.
Another question.
Yes, ma'am.
How can I, like, you know, like, I've stopped using a lot of the drugs I used to use, but I still use a few different ones that I've, like, cut back, but I can't, like...
still use a few different ones.
You need to get, when you're ready, which you clearly are not, you need to
get involved.
You need to get in some treatment, okay?
Okay.
You need to get involved in a 12-step program, get some treatment. Yeah. You're still using some speed?
No. Like, I just smoke pot and, like, eat pills.
Yeah.
What kind of, when you say you eat pills?
Like a Vicodin, Soma, Norco, methadone.
Yeah. Whatever floats your boat, right? No, that's...
That is bad times. That's heroin, right?
Well, I guess.
Take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin. That's opiate addiction.
Yeah, those are all derivatives of opium.
Very, very serious. That is the most serious form of addiction we humans can get. And well, you're going to have to deal with that.
Okay.
You should go watch a movie called Rush.
Yeah.
Go watch Rush.
All right.
It doesn't end well. It ends badly.
Yeah, my crystal ball, I'm seeing 25 rehabs ahead for you and a life of just in and out of jails and sober living and things. Just get take care of it now. Boy, yeah. I need a break. Hey, anything, Gil, on the website? Nothing.
No.
What kind of stuff are they coming in with?
The most intriguing question is if you like Chuck Norris.
If I like Chuck Norris?
Yeah, that's the most intriguing question I have.
No,
so far.
That's a bunch. Those are kids smoking pot.
How about you, Chuck Norris?
I don't have a lot of affinity for Chuck Norris.
No, me neither.
I mean, that's not even fair. I don't dislike him because I don't really even think about Chuck Norris that often.
Eric Balfour, the new show is called Conviction, Friday, 10 o'clock, NBC. The band is Fred Alba. He's trying to get thousands of you on the website there at MySpace.
Go to our MySpace page.
So check out the group.
And watch the show, more importantly.
Loveline. Right, and also download. You can download iTunes, The Conviction, if you missed it on NBC at 10 o'clock. And the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back after this.
Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Eric Balfour in here tonight. Conviction is the show, Friday night, 10 o'clock, NBC, or download it at iTunes. We are monitoring the MySpace, and here is Jim. What's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew. I've been on testosterone enanthate. I'm sure you've heard of it. I've been on it for about 5 weeks now, and it's basically just a steroid.
Right.
And I want to hear your kind of overall opinions on health effects of it and like how bad it is.
Are we talking about like anabolic steroids?
Yeah, this is truly androgenic steroid in this case. It's actually testosterone. Well, prostate cancer, thickening of the bones, neuropathies, liver disease, accelerated heart disease, stroke, kidney disease. Other than that, it's good for you.
Makes your muscles big.
Makes your muscles big. High blood pressure, just the potential medical problems are just protein.
I mean, don't you ever think about is it really worth having giant pectoral muscles if your balls shrink up to the size of like?
Oh yeah, fertility problems, grapes? Permanent erectile difficulties. I've seen that.
Is it really?
I've just seen like mixed opinions. Like I've actually read magazines like it's kind of just mixed opinions on it, you know, like, they said, like, 2 cycles a year, like, you can maintain health, like, if you're talking to your doctor about it. And
well, again, there's nothing healthy about it. So the question is, can you know?
Have you ever seen the back acne that comes along with that?
No, but the question is, how much can you mess around with your body without putting yourself in harm's way? And the answer is, we don't know. All the things I listed are the things that could potentially happen. There are more. You get manias, depression, suicide. The list goes on and on. If somebody were taking a prescription drug that did any of these things, you'd read about in the front page of the New York Times. Oh, my God, this drug, you hear what it's causing. Right. And yet you guys are doing that all the time to yourselves and then trying to sort of titrate it in such a way as to sort of skate in under the wire before you cause yourself any really serious problems. And it's impossible to know when you get to that point.
What are you doing it for? Are you doing it to get bigger?
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, I mean, I'm sure it, have you heard of, like, ectomorphs and mesomorphs and all that?
Those are terms from the 19th century. Skinny people and fat people.
I mean, basically, like, it's kind of like I'm naturally got skinny genetics, and it's like
so,
I work out and just don't put on weight at all. And it's just, like, waste of time, you know, unless, like...
If you got a really, you know, but there are people out there and there are books out there, you know, that, you know, have completely healthy means of, you know, putting on muscle weight and, you know, mass. You can do it. You're never going to be, your genetics are your genetics. You're never going to be, you know, Schwarzenegger, but come on, man. That's cool. Pick a sport that you don't need that. Become a Thai boxer.
What's up, Raina?
Hi.
And by the way, women like the sort of leaner guys.
Yeah, no, you're not going to meet a woman in anywhere who likes guys who look like, you know, WWF wrestlers.
Raina?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
Raina, do you like guys who look like WWF wrestlers?
Actually, I like the fluffier men.
Fluffier?
The fluffier?
More to love. My fiance is actually 6'2" and about 220 pounds.
I love that. Good for you.
Fluffier,
good for him.
Fluffy man.
I love women who love fluffy men.
He's kind of a hairy man. I never thought anything about hairy men until then, but he has a great personality.
What women can put up with for men is just
I know. They're so much more accepting than we are.
It's just crazy.
We're like, wait, excuse me. Your second toe is a little longer than your big
hip,
toe.
Your hip on the right side is a little higher.
Yeah, you're out. You got to go. Wait.
What's up, Raina?
Okay, my fiance is... I started to think he's mentally ill. I'm starting to get into the psychology field, and he's been diagnosed twice with psychosis, and he's going back in the church, and it seems to his mom and I that now that we think back of it, every time he's gone into, like, this non-comprehensive mode where he can't talk and he can't receive, he's like a dial tone. You get nothing.
Well, that's a fugue state, and can be a psychotic state.
Well, he's going back into the Mormon church, and I'm worried that he's not knowing what's going on with him, because when he first got into the Mormon church, he was coming out of the hospital the first time from getting dumped and so forth. And
what is his diagnosis?
It's still psychosis, and they don't...
Well, psychosis is
a
symptom.
A psychosis, is...
What, is he schizophrenic? Is he bipolar? What's the situation?
He's... Bipolar and schizophrenia does not run in the family. It's neither, their knowledge, nothing runs in the family. It's genetic, or it could, I don't know. It's nothing that's in the family.
You didn't talk to the doctors that were taking care of him?
Actually, I was there, and they still can't find out why he gets to this way, and I don't think...
Did you ask them what his diagnosis is?
They just said psychosis, and they didn't explain.
Then you need to go ask...
Schizophrenia is a type of psychosis.
Right. You need to go ask more questions.
Psychosis is just an adjective at this point.
Right. As part of the psychotic episodes, they can become hyper-religious, and that may be why he heads back to the church. So you need a lot more information.
Something fun? You know, like he needs Buddhism to be... Buddhism or SRF.
And by the way, if it's just psychosis, you need to be very sure it's not a medical psychosis, because there are medical conditions that cause psychosis, too. All right.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be examining him just yet. I mean, you just said you just got into the psychology thing in the school.
Right.
You might not want to be diagnosing him on your
19,
own just yet.
You're 19, Raina.
I'm not diagnosing him. No.
Yeah.
Nah, right. That wouldn't be.
I read this chapter today on psychosis, and you have it, my friend. Right. You have psychosis.
That's what I'm asking. And by the way, I did see you on 6 Feet Under. You're kind of creepy, but you're still cool in my book.
All right. Thank you.
kind of creepy.
But you know, Marina, see, guys who do drugs are kind
of
creepy.
All right, so go take care of the guy. Find out what's going on. Make sure this isn't a medical caused psychosis, okay?
I'm wondering if it's a brain thing because he's always thirsty for water, and I'm wondering if something's sitting in his brain like a
See, this is where you need to search the psychology thing more. That's dehydration.
When I say medical causes of psychosis, that's what I'm talking about. There can be metabolic encephalopathies that appear as a psychosis, and excessive thirst can be a sign of things like something called diabetes insipidus or actually diabetes mellitus. In either case, schizophrenics sometimes develop what's called polydipsia, or they drink excessively as well.
It's so late for the big words.
I know. So there's Lorena, he needs more careful evaluation. You need to go back, take him in, ask lots of questions, okay?
Or a sports bottle of water.
Got it?
Okay. Right now they have him on Ativan and sleeping pills because he hasn't had sleep either.
All right. Well, those are Band-Aids. You got to find out. He needs a firm diagnosis, all right?
And some exercise.
No diagnosis, no treatment. That's what I was used to yell at my residents. You cannot treat somebody if you don't have a diagnosis. Chris, what's up there, buddy?
Yeah, a couple months ago, I went to my doctor and had like a bunch of tests run, like HIV tests and stuff like that. And she checked me for a extra gene. And also she checked my testosterone levels. And
she's checking you for Klinefelter syndrome.
You mean like the chick from Species? Like when
it's XXY. It's extra sex thing. He's checking for Klinefelter syndrome. Yeah. Are you a tall, lanky guy?
No, I'm actually like 5'10", probably 200 pounds.
Okay, and so she checked you out, and?
And she found out that I didn't have that. And I don't know why she tested me for that, but what I'm really calling for is the testosterone levels. Mm-hmm. Like a normal male is supposed to be like somewhere around 1,200, and mine were like 220.
Easy, sailor, easy.
Do you have...
That's from Family Guy.
Do you have
being overweight can lower the testosterone? Are you really overweight?
No, I've actually lost 47 pounds in the past 6 months too.
Okay, so. And sometimes during periods of weight loss, testosterone will drop if you've been really significantly restricting your calorie intake. Are you on any medication?
No, none. Not at all. I suffer from migraines a lot, and she wants to put me on amitriptyline as well. And my stepdad suicidal on that, so
well, that's not likely. Amitriptyline is a very mild medication, doesn't really do much of anything, but it's a reasonable thing for migraines, and they usually give you a pretty low dose. Chris, you need to go back and finish the evaluation. If you have low testosterone levels, again, that's a symptom that needs to be sort of explained. And there are many, many different causes, something called Kallmann syndrome.
The enlarged click questions better. I don't even understand these anymore.
It's late at night.
I don't even know what's happening anymore. Like
We had an email.
My purple, spanky, sparky vibrator, I was good with that.
We had Ready Boy on the MySpace site. He's smoking and he's drinking and he's wondering why he gets dizzy spells. And he has low blood pressure.
Because you're high, dude.
He has problems getting erections for the last 3 years. I would put it on the behavioral stuff, the tobacco and the alcohol. I think that'd be a reasonable reason. He wants to know, has anything to do with low blood pressure? It does not. All right, Eric Balfour from Conviction, Fridays, 10 o'clock, NBC. You can also download it on iTunes. And we're going to get another little break. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, here's the deal. Looking to hook up? Call the Dateline. Sick of wasting time with the wrong person? Call the Dateline. One call is all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 1-877-889-DATE.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Balfour, thank you very much for sharing the evening
with us.
Thank
you, sir.
And for including your entire family and your fiance and everybody in the show.
Everybody came down.
It was
down.
A pleasure. The show is Conviction. It's Friday night, 10 o'clock, NBC. Everybody go out and watch it or download it on iTunes.
Well, yeah,
not much good night. Does your mother know the kind of work that you do?
Well, she knows tonight the kinds of things he's into.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
She was listening while she was on hold there for a while. And I appreciate Sharon for calling in. It was interesting.
Yeah. No, congratulations, man. You're doing great.
Thanks.
It sounds really good.
It was fun
on
working
you.
With it. Yeah. I appreciate that. All right. Well, that's it for tonight. And this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.